This is the Global Podcast Network, where executives and professionals connect, share, and inspire. Stay tuned for the conversations that drive success.
We are joined once again here by Abigail Bruce. So excited to have her here joining us. And I know she is, well, I'm going to say she's like a spiritual healer. She's a holistic and integrative nurse practitioner, transformational life coach, ordained minister priestess, certified as a hypnotherapist, and so much more. And we're ecstatic she's joining us here today to talk more about all she does at Abigail Mind, Body, Soul. And really, she's here bringing so much joy to those and those, you know, that are on, you know, the last, you know, limbs in a sense and on their way out as a death doula. She does it all. She's working with so many different types of people globally and to help you evolve and transform and so much more. So Abigail, welcome back today. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks all to our listening. And I was thinking about today's topic. It kind of kitty cats to the intro. Thank you again, Jill, for meeting last episode. And it's a process in discovering what holistic nursing is all about and how to wrap
your head around it. Yeah, we want to get clarity. Around. What exactly do you do, Abigail? Right. Yeah.
And I'd like to say that I speak, you know, because I'm working on all these levels of soul, of personality, of the mental body, of emotional mastery, helping people figure out and alchemize what they're going through, and then have informed decision making, have an inner compass, build that intuitive sense, because we're really good at listening to other people. In fact, I really love that too. I love asking for people's opinions. And then generally, I like to make my own decision. But I think for the most part, with holistic nursing, we are bound by, of course, a code. We make a vow. It's something that we integrate. Holistic is about whole person, mind, body, soul. But it also looks into the environment. It looks into relationships. It looks into sociocultural, ethnic backgrounds. It looks into finance. Mm-hmm. It looks into all of the different things. It looks into pets. It looks into all of the way that we live our life and how we maintain or strive for well-being, wellness, and the state of becoming well. And I like to think that the work that I've been doing more in the last 5 years, 6 years, is more along the lines of as a holistic healer and coach and in my ministry work. That being said, my background and foundation is in medicine and in nursing. I went to one of the top nursing schools in the country, UCSF. It was outstanding education. Certainly humbling. I felt like an imposter there, surrounded by brilliant people. And then I went in and became board certified as an adult nurse practitioner, trained in primary care and integrative and holistic medicine. And my background was in psychiatrics and mental health, and all of my clinical experience has been in psych. And I want to do a shout out to the collaborating psychiatrist that I work with, Dr. Rukest. He's been an amazing mentor, guide, and resource, and really believes in my holistic work. He believes and encourages me, not just doing med management, but helping people and the whole person in all mental health, but all in wellness too. And that being said, I also want to just take a moment to acknowledge all of the therapists and all of the psychologists and all of the psychiatrists doing mental health out there, because I want to say it's unprecedented what people are going through right now. And the coaches that have come and risen up come from their own kind of a wisdom. They might not have the clinical expertise or education, but most of the coaches that I have worked with and met and talked with are have a vast wellspring of wisdom. And so I want to, whether you're working with me or you're working with someone else, I just want to encourage people to Be okay asking for help. Be okay recognizing that you might be in treading water and you don't have a direction and you're needing some support and guidance, because life is hard out there. And the caveat is that we can have joy and we can live lightly and tread lightly on this earth, even though we're going through massive changes or massive challenges, even if we feel like we're alone, we can learn how to, again, be soul guided. And holistic nursing and holistic coaching is really about helping people in all aspects of their life.
Well, thank you. And you continue to do so with that and in so many different aspects. And I know you're clarifying, you know, the work that you're doing, and it's global, right? You're here helping, as you mentioned, people, animals even, right, going through experiencing, you know, transforming their lives, or whether it's through death and through the next level. I know we're going to talk about Blue, which is your cat, who unfortunately after 23 and a half years, next week we'll be moving on to another space. So I can't say unfortunately or fortunately, because it's part of our journey, but it's hard on anyone. And I know you have a lot to brace for, and you're always helping people. Who's helping you get through this? Just curious, Abigail.
I mean, I think this goes back to me being able to reach out, and you bring a good point. I feel like every good practitioner should have some form of supportive system in place. I think it's a healthy thing, whether it's a psych somebody in psych or someone who's more in spiritually aligned. I think I've gone through with my mom having cancer for most of my life and having died and having gone through an enormous amount of personal experiences of trauma, of abuse, of all these different things, that I needed therapy too. And it's probably why I'm really good at what I do, because I've worked with a number of different people and I've pulled all of what I loved into what I offer now as that amalgamation. And with Blue passing, I'm going to be talking about that next week. I really feel that it will resonate with many people listening, because so many of us love our animals. So many people have loved their pets, whether they're dogs or cats or reptiles or rats or anything. These are our fur babies, but they're also angels. They're also these unconditional beacons of light in our world, and they give us such structure and such stability. And I will be sharing a little bit about my story with my animals, and yeah, it's going to be a hard one. I'm having to bring, in fact, somebody that a dear friend of mine who's a vet is going to be coming to the house. And I'm anticipating it with this relief and with lots of grief. In fact, I'm crying. So,
of course, you know. And you made me cry before the show, because it's so painful. I've dealt with this myself, and I know so many people have. So beautiful, hard, but also part of life. And thank you for bringing us on that journey next week. And let me ask for today. I know we're going to kind of focus on, what are we doing as a holistic life coach? What are the specific things you can help us with? And also with holistic nursing. And then we're going to talk about some client case studies that are really going to inspire and inform. So please continue listening. And if you are just tuning in, don't forget, Abigail Bruce is our guest. We're talking to her here today, and really excited to dive in more. Do you want to start off with the holistic life
coach? Yeah. So I actually, on my website, because some people don't even know what it is, I wanted to speak about what a coach is. It's a professional who supports, empowers, and challenges individuals to help them realize personal and professional goals. The coaching relationship is a partnership relying on a high level of trust and connection between coach and client. The coach helps the client clarify their own agenda and supports them creating and following through on a strategy to achieve their goals. This is the definition by the International Coaching Federation.
Okay.
I was trained in California. This is what I abide by. I think that this is such a different philosophy than me putting on my clinician hat and saying, I know what's best for you. There's a time and a place for that. And I think that the nuances of what I do is a bit above everything. And especially as an intuitive, when I'm picking up and I'm downloading and receiving insight and information, I have to go with that too. But ultimately, I want everyone to make their own decisions, informed decisions. And one thing, interestingly, with a holistic approach is people might come to me, let's say they're having anxiety, or they're having a lot of worry, a lot of trepidation, a lot of overwhelm. Whether or not I'm treating them, and treating is the key word, that's being a nurse. Treating is being a medical professional. And a holistic nurse has the option to do that as well as a nurse practitioner. In California, we are licensed to do evaluations, to diagnose and prescribe medication. I do it with a consulting psychiatrist and physician. I love that collaboration. However, in California, we don't need it anymore. We are practitioners, we are trained, and we are capable. That doesn't mean I don't refer people out. And I often have complex cases and I say, you need to go work with a therapist. You need to go work with a psychologist. You even need to go inpatient. It's time. You got to go inpatient. You need more help and support. So knowing when and how to best support people is kind of the nuance of the work that I do, because I kind of come from different perspectives. I'm board certified as an adult nurse practitioner, as I mentioned, but the holistic nursing is a different kind of rigor, and that is also board certified. So I'm a board certified advanced practice holistic nurse as well. That's the highest degree you can have in my field in that capacity. And yeah, that might be utilizing of kind of, it all taps into using allopathic medicine with a combination of Eastern and Western healings and philosophies to address health of the body, mind, and spirit. Encourages self-care. Holistic nurses empower their patients to find ways to maintain their health and foster stronger connection to their bodies. But this also goes back to what the soul is wanting, what the mind is wanting, what the personality is craving, and all of the other things too. It's a lot. It's exciting. And it's such a wonderful platform for me to do this work, because in coaching, they often teach you to have a niche.
They
have an expertise, whether or not it's executive coaching. Well, most of my clients, not mostly, I have so many different clients from various walks of life, but many of them are executives, high profile executives from Silicon Valley. So it is executive coaching to a degree, but it's working on all these aspects of their own lives, so that they can be the best people they can be at work, in the workplace, the best leaders, the best managers, the best executives. Very, very different than, say, a retired practitioner who is trying to figure out what the next step is and how to navigate the life of end of life, or that all their people are going away. You know, and how to help them find the joys in everyday moments. Their agenda, their interest is going to be very different in what they can and cannot do, versus a college student and who's just so excited about coming out of university, but completely overwhelmed by all the options and all the possibilities. In fact, Mel Robbins did a beautiful podcast episode, and I shared it with so many of my clients. And it has to do with me coaching not just the youth, but also the parents that are so hard on their kids, and they bring out so much anxiety in their kids. I see that too. So that goes back to family dynamics and helping them see the bigger picture of how they don't mean to, of course. It's their own worries, it's their own cultural norms, it's their own generational norms. Yeah. But all of that combined means that from a holistic perspective, sometimes it looks like family coaching too. And that is something that I have done more of in recent years. Wow. Because you're looking at a different kind of system of how to best support each other, how to best communicate with each other, what you guys want to achieve as a family, how to bring more joy into each of your daily lives, because you're all so scattered. Everyone has so much to do, and how to find connection with each other. And yeah, so that's a little bit of the nuances of some of that. And I can dive into some other inspiring clients.
Oh, well, please. I mean, it's always great to hear. This is a lot. And if you are just tuning in, I want to remind everyone that Abigail is joining us here, and she's from the San Francisco Bay Area, but working with people all over. It's Abigail Mind, Body, Soul. And again, integrative and holistic nurse practitioner, and also life coach, ordained minister, and meditation teacher. She has a lot of hats, I should say, in helping people. And if you are just tuning in, we've been talking a little bit about holistic coaching and the nursing. And we're going to share some details, some of the clients, some of the cases she's working on, to give you a better understanding of her knowledge and the types of things like that are, you know, helping your clients. Could you kind of dive in a little further into someone that you're working with? Obviously, you don't have to mention their name. Thank you.
I would just say, if you go to my website, yep, Abigail Mind Body Soul, there are some incredible reports from people just giving their perspectives and their experiences. I think as a nurse, there's more confidentiality, so it's harder for me to share a lot. But I can just speak to people that might be coming with different nuances, say habits, whether or not it's emotional eating, whether it's binging, whether it's body dysmorphia, whether it's they're really, really stressed about something completely unrelated, but yeah, that's what they're doing is they're using food as a way to self-soothe, to nourish, and the like. I'm not saying that they're diagnosed with an actual mental disorder, like a food eating disorder. But these are people that are perhaps a little overweight. They're trending in a way that's not conducive for long-term health. And they're taking on more with stress, with work, with obligations, with saying yes when they need to say no.
Always.
With boundaries. So sometimes we have to dive deep into that. Sometimes it's a regression where we're going back all the way into their childhood, when they were really good, their mom would give them an ice cream.
Yeah.
When they were really sad, their mom would give them a cookie.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden you're learning these methods of self-soothing from our childhood. Some of what I do might be using visualization.
Yeah.
Some of it might be more of like a regression hypnosis, going back into a time so that they can talk to that part of themselves, where those habits began, where they started to formulate these behaviors and these impulsivities, and how to have these communication with those parts of a self and saying, hey, maybe there's a different way.
Yeah.
Using NLP is another profound tool, and hypnotherapy is one of my favorite tools. And I would like to say that I am also a client of myself, in the sense that I have used hypnosis for myself, self-hypnosis for many years. That's why I became a hypnotherapist, because I had hypnotherapy done on me right after my mom passed away. And I was so angry with the world. I was so angry with the universe. I was so angry at God. I was so angry at everything. I was 21 and was lost without her. My dad and my sister, bless their hearts, they were doing the best that they could. So hypnotherapy was actually a really profound experience for me just back then. And so by 2007, I trained and I got certified in hypnotherapy. So I was actually young, before a nurse practitioner or anything, doing that, and whether it's past life regression, quantum
healing. Hold on, you were just going to say quantum. What is that? The quantum healing?
Quantum healing is where we are connecting with universal light energy. We're calling in guides and angels. We are working with different sensory systems, whether you're claircognizant or clairsentient, or you visualize something. It's developed for me over the years. I have an incredible group of friends that are all masters in this. We support each other. And I've learned a lot in different nuances of different ways of doing this and accessing the quantum field for healing. But that might also involve Reiki. It might involve clearing, detangling. And this kind of gets into more of the like woo-woo stuff. But if people do believe in spirit, if they do believe in souls, then sometimes there's also debris and entities that attach and all these other things that are kind of scary and nebulous and intangible. And doing that kind of work can give you clarity of what is stuck within you. I call it like energetic cysts. So it might be working through and releasing some of that that energy that's been stuck there from past trauma. And hypnotherapy or past life regression, hypnotherapy can be a powerful one. So this leads into one of my stories. One of my clients came, they're actually on my, they did a video on my website because they were so profoundly impacted by this. We worked together for a few months with no success. Maybe it was like 6 months. Going about things in different ways, trying to understand why they were fainting, whether it wasn't anything to do with pathophysiology or physiology. It has to do with something psychological, but nothing had happened in their life to cause something like that. They had had no traumas in life that would cause this unusual fainting at the sound, at the thought, at the word blood.
Mm-hmm.
And so finally I was like, well, I think we need to go further. And so we regressed into a past life. And lo and behold, it was a very, their last death was very bloody and very horrible and very traumatic. And on a soul level, they had brought it forward on some level. It hadn't completely cleaned in between life, between lives. It had somehow come forward into this next life, almost like an echo of the past. And so we were able to do some healing and awareness and just recognizing that, I think for them to recognize it's not from this time, it's nothing that needs to be seriously worried about. That was the past. It doesn't need to repeat. That was a lesson from a previous lifetime. They have had no issues ever since. And I mean, that's kind of a great success story, that it was a profound impact being able to do that work. I would never have been able to do that as a nurse practitioner. No. I would never have been able to do that maybe as a psychiatrist that's trained in something like that, but I'm not. So this goes back to like being a hypnotherapist and being a coach and being able to really go deep and dive deep into these things. And as you know, as a nurse practitioner or anyone who's gone into primary care to see their doctors or even in psych, they're often 15-minute, 30-minute sessions. You can't really take time to go deep and find out the nuances of people's lives and their families' lives and their genetic profiles and their socioeconomic and their religious and their, you know, issues around money. If they're, you know, you can't without having more time. And with holistic coaching, my sessions are 50 minutes to 90 minutes. They can be longer depending on what people need.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, thank you. We're out of time almost. We still got 3 more minutes. We started late today, but I'm excited because you are very unique, clearly, with your academic, right? Your background as a nurse practitioner. I feel like you're able to use so much more than a regular nurse practitioner or a regular holistic practitioner in a sense. You are a nurse practitioner, and with all this, putting all these modalities to help people, which encompasses so much. I mean, really, it's pretty, I've never met a nurse practitioner who was a holistic, an integrative nurse practitioner as well, and had these other titles with them. So that clearly makes you unique, and you're very passionate about this. And I know we've talked about your childhood, what you went through, of course, with your family, with your horse, with your mom, and my heart breaks, but it's like you really also embrace and empathize the hurt, the pain, and you're able to process that and help others because you've been there. And I just love that about you're eager and honest to share your story, your journey. You mentioned your divorce. So like we all have things that, you know, people may say make us broken and it may have hurt us, may have damaged us. But it's something that we've also learned to grow from, transform from, and, in a sense, kind of helped us, which is odd, right? To think something so tragic at the time, like my mother's death or your mother's death. But then, wow, it has helped me grow. It has helped me inspire others to work with others who could be in need. And I clearly, you know, I can feel that from you. I see it from you. And I hope your audience, you know, can too. And wow.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
I know. And I, you know, I just want to, whoever's listening, just experience whatever it is that you're going through. I had wanted to actually go over with Jill and
talk
about and like do some sort of offering for all of you.
Well,
share, you know, whatever it is, the stress, where it's a feeling of block, where we're not being able, something, we want something so much, but we're being blocked by some way, is whether it's a behavior. It's us being able to tap into these parts of ourselves and asking the right questions on how we're trying to protect ourselves or in what need isn't being met. And I like to think that, you know, whether or not we have a capacity to ask these kind of hard questions on ourselves, having somebody as a mirror to be able to flash ideas with that is 100% in your court, that has your back, that wants the best and highest good for you.
Yep.
That helps you with informed decision making. It's such a great gift. And I wish everyone could have something like this. I wish it wasn't part of our medical system. I wish the insurance companies would support this. You know, and I think about going, you know, what we all learn in school, our maths, our English, our social studies, everything, our histories. We don't learn about self-care. We don't learn so much about wellness and relationships and how to communicate, how to decide, is this person the right person for me? How to decide if we want to have children or not as women, working women, do we even have the financial well-being and support to do it? You know, all of these things. And I think that that's where coaching kind of bridges the gap a little bit. Because it takes you on a journey of self-discovery. It takes you into learning and reading and asking deep dive questions for you to go, whoa, I need to pull back. I need to reset. I need to realign with those values. What are my values? I don't even know if I'm following values.
Yes, yes.
You know, we're just on autopilot. Well, So thank you again for just giving me, I know that this is just a, you know, little part of the, a part of the journey. I'd love to be able to share more stories. Smoking cessation is hypnotherapy is a powerful thing. I don't do that as much, but I did that a lot in my earlier years as a hypnotherapist and saw the success. I created a hypnotherapy, recording that UCSF gave out to homeless people to help them with smoking cessation. It's a national health issue. That's more along the holistic nursing thing. As someone who has helped with death doula, as a death doula, I'm also a birth doula because I do a lot of hypnobirthing. I've had so many of my clients deliver healthy babies, beautiful labors, and you can do this remotely. That's the neat thing about hypnotherapy. You can make recordings, you can help people listen to them over and over. They can be guided support. There's a lot of different nuances to doing that as a hypnotherapist and doing visualization and teaching meditation, breath work and those types of things.
And I know you wanted to ask, we do have just a few more minutes.
Oh,
Me personally,
yes, please.
something that's bothering me. Tell me, what is the question to try to give me an idea of
So,
how you would help someone?
when I was just trying to think about if you have something that in particular, and I don't know how many people have heard of EFT tapping, but I
Yes.
usually use EFT tapping as another tool that I can use. I wanted to take you through a quick visualization.
Sure.
So if there is there something that you've been blocked or unable to actually move through for some reason?
It's my home. I have a 10 and an 8-year-old, and I have piles around my house from my bedroom to my bathroom to one spare room that's packed. Like I look like a hoarder. Downstairs is neat and clean to a point, but it's like clutter every day, and I don't ever have the time to put it away. Even my desk here, it's like I'm so ADHD. I run around, I try to clean something, and then okay, then the cat does something. Oh, and then the kid needs me. Oh, and then I got to go to sports, and then I got to work, and I'm overwhelmed in clutter. But I feel it's a sign of how I am here mentally cluttered. And this has been years like this. I'm 47 and I've lived with my kids, well, 10 years now. Even before I had kids, I had the same problem, not as extreme, but now it's extreme and it's affecting my whole self. I don't want to leave my house because I feel like I have so much to, on the steps that has to be put away, and I just never get it done. And it's hurting me physically and mentally, and it's making me it's something wrong there. It's something that I'm hiding, that I'm scared about, that I just don't know why. Well, I tell everyone I work, 40 hours a week. I have two kids. I'm single. I live alone. There's no every other weekend. There's no one else helping. And so I can't afford a $30 an hour babysitter to have someone take my kids out of the house so I can work on my house. I just can't. So I'm like, I just need my kids out of here. I have to work alone, and I'm never alone. I can't be distracted. So I have a problem trying to get everything together. And the summer I've done a lot, not much though, but I finally did the garage. But now the garage is getting cluttered because I'm trying to take everything out of that. But I feel like if I had the time, I'd be able to get everything out, but it's not. So what is going on with me mentally? What am I not happy about?
So
What am I not?
thank you for sharing and thank you for being open to sharing that, because when we look into our homes, there is a vulnerability of that. So for you to be able to share it like this live, I have such respect for you, and you're not alone. There is a DM5, DSM-5 category for hoarding. It is a mental health thing, but I think you spoke to ADD, ADHD when you feel like you are
Overwhelmed
like
and
overwhelmed, and there is an overwhelm, and they say a cluttered mind is, and a cluttered home is a cluttered mind. I don't even know where that comes from, but it's absolutely true. I'm the same way. Sticky notes all over the place with my, I have ADD and ADHD too. So,
see, I don't know. I've never been diagnosed with it. Do I need to get a diagnosis?
So
Do you know what's wrong? What do
I
I
was
need?
gonna say you might want to get diagnosed, or excuse me, not diagnosed, evaluated. And it's a comprehensive evaluation, especially as an adult. Usually it's a 3 to 4 session evaluation by a diagnostician. It's worth having. I think the other piece is just you having compassion with yourself, that this kind of thing takes time because you are a single mom. You're working with two young kids. They've been on in summer school, or not summer school. They've been on summer break, sorry.
Yeah, and home
And then
because
you're
I put
working
them
and
in camp only
home.
3 days just to try it. I can't afford to spend $258 a day like other people to send them to camp. I just can't.
I get that too. So number one, you're incredibly hard on yourself.
Yes.
It ha you have got to have grace and give yourself grace under the circumstance that anybody who would come into your home knowing you and knowing what you've been through absolutely would not judge you.
I know my
If they
family
have, shame on
doesn't.
them.
No, my
But
family doesn't, but I don't want anyone in my house
I
because
can
then I'm like,
understand why you don't feel that way. I'm the
it's
same way.
embarrassing. And it's
And
like,
so, yeah, absolutely. So one thing that kind of comes to mind is how you're independent. And as an independent mom and as an independent woman, it's hard to ask for help. I know that I have a best friend that we both hate cleaning. We'll hop on the phone together and we'll clean each other
okay.
on our own homes,
Oh,
but we're holding each other accountable getting a little,
that's awesome.
That getting a little friendly chats that make each other laugh while we're cleaning and folding the laundry and putting.
See, I love cleaning, but I'm also OCD. I clean my toilets at least twice a day. Every single one, I take the lids off. I have to clean the sides where the pee runs down with the kids. It's more of like, I'm a great, my mother cleaned houses for a living. She was OCD crazy. She loved cleaning. And so do I. And I just can't get everything clean. And it's driving me crazy.
Yeah. So that when I hear that, it also means these high standards.
Yeah. No shoes in the house. No.
It's that all or nothing thinking.
It's like, yeah.
It's a black and white way of looking, like if it's not completely clean, it can't be clean. And this goes back to how we live in, we do live in like black and white often. And it's about how to find the nuances of what tidy is versus sparkling clean. How can you start with and normalize and feel really good about having things in places?
Yeah.
Maybe they're not in their places, but they're near them.
Yeah, well, like I started, I took everything out of my garage and like I started giving away kids stuff and selling like new stuff and like for the kids. So I started putting stuff on Marketplace. I did that and the kids are making some money. Great. But then there's like this room. I started taking everything out and I'm putting it in the garage now that's clean. But I'm moving one clutter to the next spot thinking I'm going to get to the clutter in the new spot, but I'm really not. But now that the kids started school today, so you mentioned the word grace. Yes. I have to have some grace and I'm going to tackle like next Tuesday. I'm not working. So that's my goal. But then what happens Tuesday is, oh, kids home sick from school. You got to take them to the doctor. Oh, it's
and again, this goes back to grace. Because
I have to have grace.
Yeah. Yes. Life happens. You have intention. You absolutely have got to be flexible. Flexible. Remember how I was saying about the waves, about fluidity, about flow. Why we're so hard on ourselves is because we have these rigid agendas and rigid expectations of ourselves. And then we're incredibly hard on ourselves and we can't be fluid and flexible. Fluid and flexible means you adapt and you are making an intention. When's the next intention? When's your next date? This kind of goes back to another thing is this of independence versus asking for help. Whether or not you can pay someone, there's no reason why good friends can't come together and help you put 3 or 4 hours in together. And then you do the same for them. It's a lot easier to clean and organize somebody else's home. I know that. And you know, I always think of the Amish as an example, how they come together and they build within like 2 days, a whole person's house, you know, because it's a community effort. I know you're in San Francisco. I don't know the French circles that you have and everybody being busy, but if there is a way for friends to spend some time together and help you, you wouldn't feel so overwhelmed and alone with it too. The other piece, like you've been saying, is you do focus on one room. When I do coaching, you can't just do renovations of an entire house all at once. You focus on like the kitchen. You focus on the bedroom.
Yeah.
You get totally overwhelmed if you look at the overwhelm. And I think part of coaching is breaking things up into bite-sized things. So you could go through and you have that. I know there's some great YouTube videos and things like that on like what is absolute trash, what you could care less about and you do not want to see ever again versus, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. Versus, I love this. This is never going to be, you know, and you do that 3-part sequence with all of your stuff, including clothes, including knickknacks, include of everything. And you kind of do that bit by room and you keep doing that bit by bit so that you are weaning yourself off of some of the clutter stuff. And then you're just living in stuff that, you know, I think, what was it? There was that, I'm drawing that one woman who talked about home organization and you holding up everything and asking if it brings you joy.
Yeah.
Marie Kondo.
Okay.
Marie Kondo wrote a really sweet little book about decluttering.
All right.
And
all right.
I can't, the joy of cleaning up, I believe. You might read that or listen to it on audio while you're cleaning. And I'm here to support you too.
Thank you so much. Well, I appreciate that. So we can talk more about it next week. Now, unfortunately, we do have to go, but I'm glad we had some extra time today to discuss this. And thank you. I want to work through it and I will. Hopefully, I don't know how many more sessions do we have, Abigail?
We will have, let's see, 3 more?
Okay, perfect.
3 more.
Well, there will be some progress, and you're going to be my accountability factor.
I will be your accountability buddy.
But yeah, absolutely. It'd be nice to have that, because then my family judges me. And like, I'm dealing with a situation with my sister where, again, I'm the single one in the family. No one else is single. So if I want to go out on a date with someone that I'm dating, it's like, well, you have time to do that. You don't have time to do your house. And I'm like, stop. Wow. I cannot do my house with my children here. I cannot focus. I start something, they cry, they scream, they need food, they're fighting. They're taking more stuff out in the toy room. It's just, I can't focus. So my sister's magic, well, you make time to go out. I said, I don't make time to go out. I said, I need to, but one does not affect the other. And my sister knows me, and I can only work alone because I cannot focus. So, all right. Yeah. Thank you for that. Thank you. Thank
you. Absolutely.
Abigail, how do we contact you?
I'd love to talk more about it, because there's so many aspects to that, that are coming. It's all multifactorial.
Yeah.
Just remember that. And the biggest thing is give yourself some grace.
Grace. Thank you. Abigail, how do we reach you?
Okay. Please go to my website, fill out a form if you're interested, abigailmindbodysoul.com. And I do have a little bit of a blog going. I'm also on Instagram, Abigail_mindbodysoul. And would love to hear from all of you. If there's anything in particular, I'd be happy. And there's a Dear Abigail or Dear Abby. I'm happy to speak to some of your concerns.
Perfect. Thank you, sweetheart. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll talk soon next week. Thank you. And best of luck with you and Blue going through what you have to go through.
Thanks.
And I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
This is the Global Podcast Network, where executives and professionals connect, share, and inspire. Stay tuned for the conversations that drive success.
Hi, this is Terry Crews, actor, former football player, game show host, father of five, and all-around big dude. I'm also an expert on drama. I know all kinds of drama. There's the good kind that comes with having a house full of kids. There's the bad kind, like season-ending injuries. There's the necessary kind, like having an agent in Hollywood. And there's silly drama, like the drama around my percolating pectorals. And then there's the drama you can skip.
Skip the drama that comes with not having your high school diploma or equivalency. Find free adult education classes near you and finish your high school diploma. Visit finishyourdiploma.org.
Or text DIPLOMA to 97779. Message and data rates may apply. Reply STOP to opt out. That's DIPLOMA to 97779. And leave the drama to actors like me.
Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ed Council.